Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Looks like we have some echo here. Everybody, the Zoom should allow everybody to be joining now that the other meeting, we had to bump the other meeting at the top of the hour. I don't know who else was using the Zoom earlier today. So sorry that everybody got that waiting message when you tried to join the meeting early. Okay, I think we should get going here. It looks like we've got a good quorum of attendees from the Village Reach and the Sol de Velo side. And since today's showcase has so many things to showcase, which is great, I don't think we'll do a roll call or introductions. I think we will dive right in. And let me just very quickly show the statistics of sort of what work has happened this sprint. It looks like we are already recording, which is great. So this was sprint 45. This was one of the biggest sprints ever, especially recently in the last few months. And Team Parrot got 26 issues worth 74 points. Closed this sprint, so it was one of the most productive sprints in quite a while. There are a lot of features for vaccines, and there are also a few bugs and tasks. Let me just focus on the big stories. Pick pack list, an admin screen to create processing schedules, three tickets about fire locations, providing locations as fire, which we'll use right away for the integration with Nextleaf. These tasks were UI, smaller UI cleanup things, but then a bunch more stories. For stock-based requisitions, an ability to do local fulfillment, requisitions get approved and facilities receive an order, automatically converting a requisition to an order, showing the ISA column in the requisition template, prepare order for local fulfillment when order is created, and update the order status to fulfilling, and consolidate the order statuses. So that was a bunch of stuff around local fulfillment, around fire devices, and a couple admin screens. And that is a lot to show off today, even without mentioning those bugs and other things. So that's great. Team Ill also got six tickets done, and there are some important things in here, some work on emergency requisitions or the API design about stock on hand, writing tickets, making karma tests, use JavaScript files, documenting some things. So we might not have time to show some of those because there's so much feature work to do first. One other very quick thing. All 21 projects are passing in the Sonar quality gate. So this is the first time ever, I think, that at showcase time, every single project is passing. Nothing trips the quality gate at all. So that's awesome. And just sort of looking at the stats of what we've got done here in Sprint 45, again, it was one of the highest numbers of points we'd done in quite a while since last summer. And the biggest green bar, meaning the most vaccine stuff we'd gotten done in quite a while. So you can tell that by the green bar on the top graph, which is the biggest green bar we've had in a while. Or I made this bottom graph just to show those vaccine points. So it's really clear to see how many vaccine points we get done every sprint. And as you can see, this was the second highest ever. The only higher one was this one big sprint right before a previous release. I think that was 3.2 release. So that's great. I'm going to stop showing all those stats because I think we should dive right into the features. Who would like to screen sharing first?
I think I could start.
Okay, that sounded like Lukasz, and I guess there's no ball, so you can just push share screen and kick us off.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we see your screen.
Okay, so maybe I will start with this ticket. It's about automatically convert a requisition to order when we got through final approval for the facility and program combo, and also when the local fulfill flag is set to true. And before the meeting, I created and authorized a requisition for the API program. Currently, I am logged as a Devo1 user, and I will approve this requisition. And the requisition will be approved and automatically converted to an order. If we back to requisition, you can see that there is no options to change status. Also on the screen, the requisition has status released, and in the order view, there is a order for this requisition. Okay. The next ticket related with this one is about added support for the local fulfill flag for the program. So now in the facility, when we edit a facility and the associated programs, we have a new column called local fulfill. By default, it's set to false for the programs. And also for API programs, it's set to true by default, but only for demo data. If we add API program like that, the flag will be not set. We will have to set this manually. When we save the programs and we back to the view, we can see that the flag is set and the flag will be used in the other services. Okay, maybe this one. This is a bug. It will be quickly show you about giving ability to set a very long comment in the requisition. I will simply create this requisition. I simply provide a very long comment. I will save the requisition. The comment has been saved. There is no error message from the backend. Also, if I submit this requisition, the comment will be available.
Great. That's a good bug fix there.
Okay, about pickpack list, this already was shown on the previous showcase. I could show that the... I probably have to convert some. If you go to the fulfill page, you will have ability to create a pickpocket report. It's a while because we have to save a draft to the backend. You can see that the report is generated and available to print.
Okay, great.
Okay, there was
Lukasz, can you can you go back to the convert to order page?
Sure.
In our demo data, so it says district name Niassa, but Niassa is not a district, it's a region, it's a province, I think. So, I mean, this is not related to your ticket, but just, it doesn't seem right, that data.
So maybe, Chungsun, if I understand what you're saying maybe there's some other bug here that column name, either that column name is wrong because maybe district isn't the right level in the geo hierarchy, or the data is wrong because it's walking too many levels up the hierarchy to populate
that. It probably should say Kwamba district if it's going to show the district name, or if it's showing the province, then it's Niassa. So, but yeah.
Okay, are you, Chungsun, are you willing to maybe follow up on that later today, like flag that for yourself and file a bug report about that detail?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Very good catch.
Okay, so there was also a small issue with the performance test. The mainly problem was that the Taurus images has been, the Docker image has been changed, and also with the newest version, there's probably a small bug that this problem with the JMeter plugins to use, so we use the previous version. Currently, all tests works, not all of them pass, but we know about that, and we have probably tickets for this. And yeah, maybe I go to the next ticket. Two tickets related with the fire resources, I think. Location and device. There is one moment I have to take access token. Okay, so we have new endpoint in the CCA service to retrieve all fire devices. Currently, there is no pagination, no ability to sorting, getting by ID, and so on, because there is no requirement. We return all resources as or inventory items / catalog item as devices. And yeah, there is a required field resource type of device. Their manufacturer and model are taken from the catalog item. ID is related to inventory item ID, and location is as a link to the facility.
That looks great. I'm wondering, is that okay? Yeah, no, that looks great.
Okay, thanks. And the second endpoint is in the reference data. It's take all location. Here is also we retrieve all, in this case, all geographic zones and facilities as location. There is a bunch of fields that are taken from the geographic zone or from facility.
Could we take a look at the identifiers and then in the part of
identifier for geographic zone identifier looks like this. So we have system. This is copied from the fire documentation, and value is direct address to the geographic level. And from facility, I think there directly into the program type and operator related with the facility.
And where did we get, where did the URN IET FRFC, where did that come from?
This part?
Yes.
It's hard coded.
It's hard coded.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, I might follow up on that, but great. And then, sorry, the part of?
Part of.
Okay.
Yeah, because this facility is a part of F reference, so it's ordered to the address to the geographic zone, and for geographic zone is to link to the geographic zone, which is a parent of.
Okay. Of
this geographic zone.
This one we have needs a little bit of a change. Part of when it's talking about a part of needs to be another fire resource and not one of our own resources. So it needs to be not geographic zone, it needs to be a location.
Okay. But if we want to have address to the location, should we have also an endpoint that take an ID as a parameter?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Okay, so maybe for the coming sprint, we should get a little ticket together about extending the way we do part of there to be kind of fire ready.
Yeah, to be more compliant, we should have it in there. This does need to be a location, and we do need to get by ID. I don't think that last part will affect, the ID part will affect the NextLease integration. I think for now they're just going to get this whole list, but it does need to be another fire resource and not a geographic zone resource. But otherwise, I think it looks good. I do think I'd like to follow up on those identifiers. And physical type, we had a physical type in the. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's correct. Yeah. And do we switch that when we get to a location that is a facility? Does it say site? Yeah. Okay. Great.
Nice.
Okay,
so Josh, are you going to flag to follow up with both of those details about the URN identifier thing, but also maybe make a ticket today about the providing part ofs that point to fire URLs?
Yep, I'll follow up.
Okay, excellent.
Okay. Also, we add a new endpoint for the able fulfills. Currently, this is how the endpoint response looks like. And basically, it's a list of order labels that have two properties that answer the question if the given order label can be fulfilled or can fulfill other order label. Also, we can this is response when we don't provide any IDs, and we can also provide some IDs. The parameter is we can repeat the parameter. If I specify two IDs, I get invited. one moment.
Yep, happens to us all.
Yeah, okay, so now you see that there's response only for those two IDs.
Okay, so we just the first list is just those two IDs. Yep, okay, great. Could we take a look at the ticket real quick? And just the acceptance criteria. Or actually, could we look at the examples?
examples?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that looks perfect. I was just checking the field names again. Make sure I wrote them down right.
Cool.
Okay. So there is only one ticket left. This one basically, how to say that? Basically, we have three tickets in this sprint that give ability to print ideal stock amount in the requisition. Paolo Albeski added a search endpoint to find correct ideal stock amounts. My ticket was about copy those values to the requisition line item field, and the Claudia modify requisition template to display those fields on the requisition. So I'm not sure how to show this ticket because as part of this ticket, I simply use the endpoint and copy values to the requisition. So maybe I would simply modify the API program. And I enable ADR stock amount column. And you can see that ADR stock amount are displayed in the product grid. Those values are taken from the reference data and they are copied to the requisition line items. And we only use, we connect a commodity type ID from the stock, ideal stock amount with the order label that have identified to the same commodity type. That's why some lines doesn't have amount in the column. And basically that's everything what I would like to show you. Do you have any questions? If not, then forward to show.
Okay, yeah, I don't hear any questions. So thanks. That's a ton of stuff. And
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Who would like to show tickets next?
Maybe I can continue. Okay, so so for today I have three tickets to show you. The first one is about the processing schedule screen, so let's just quickly go there. So we have the processing schedule list with the name and code. We can simply add a new schedule. As you can see, the code and name are required. So let's save that, and we have a new schedule. So now for the new created schedule, we can add the new processing period. So name, start date, and end date are required. We can check that the end date is cannot be before start date. So yeah, we have that error. Let's select something else. And yeah, after we add the period, the next one will have the pre-populated start date selected. That cannot be changed. So I'll just select the dates and try to add a new one. So yeah, this is it. And yeah, probably this is everything for this ticket.
Mateo, so does this mean that the existing schedules will also show like all the existing processing periods, or this is?
So the screen is paginated, yeah, and as you can see, the start date is, you know, one day after the last end date. The processing periods are, you know, sorted by the start dates. So yeah.
Okay. So when you I have one question. So when you select the same end date as the start date, that's not allowed?
Same start date as end date?
Yeah.
Meaning you're making a period that lasts 0 days?
Well, wouldn't that be 1 day though? If you were making a daily processing schedule, what would you specify as the end date?
Probably the second, because, you know, the reference data accepts the local date without the time, so it has to be, you know, 1 day plus, probably.
I think it can be connected with date picker issue.
So yeah, it should be something like that. That the date picker blocks dates, you know, before the 1st of January. But we have a bug filed for this. You know, this was working like a few months ago, but you know, suddenly it just won't now.
I mean that UI sends 1 day earlier date to backend. So this start date should be before end date. It means that start date
We can take this offline.
They're just following the dates per the configuration guide rules, which state it has to be the next business day.
Okay, so for now, when you make an end date, it has to be at least 1 day after the start date.
Correct.
Okay, and it sounds like, Joanna, that bug, we'll come to that later. We definitely have a bug already about the way the date field sometimes with time zones interprets the wrong thing depending on time zone, so that will be addressed later, right? We don't need to worry about that in this ticket.
Yeah, so this ticket is this bug is actually still in progress. So
okay, great. I had one last question on this one, Mateusz. If you open that modal again, one of the date fields had a little calendar symbol and the other one didn't. Do you know if our style guide probably has any date field should have that little calendar symbol, or is there a reason for that?
I mean, this symbol appeared after this field is disabled, but actually, I'm not sure why this is happening.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. I think we might need to make a more general ticket about doing an overhaul on the date picker, just because its current implementation is clunky. And ideally, every date should have a little calendar icon, except that icon should be on the left, not the right. So I'm not sure why that's there.
Okay, so maybe that's like a little cleanup ticket for later to kind of make. Yeah. Nick, are you willing to then take?
Yeah, on... I'll write down and try to organize that.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Any other questions on this processing period admin screen?
Last question. There was a question on Slack UI channel about removing the code column because the value is always the same.
Yeah.
And do we really need that column?
I saw that. I thought it seemed from the conversation you all had decided to remove that. And I thought that was a great idea because it's useless.
We decided not. So yeah,
that's fine. It's fine. I mean, like, from my point of view, it's fine. And if that's what you all decided, that's okay to remove it.
Okay. So I'll just remove it after the showcase.
Okay, great. Yep, that's an easy fix.
Yeah, so maybe let's just jump to the next one. This is about preparing the order for the local fulfillment. So let me just log in as default. Let's just get the convert to order first. And let's just convert one of the requisitions. So after converting, the orders, the status of the order is set to ordered, and only for those, only for the ordered and fulfilling statuses, the fulfill button will show up. Yeah, so as you can see, now it is it has the fulfilling status because of the shipment draft was saved to the server, but this is a part of Claudia's ticket. So what else is done? We can just quickly see check that this button does not show for doesn't show up for the orders with the in route status, as you can see, and also it is blocked by the API is blocked by API to create a shipment draft for orders with the in route status, other than ordered status. Yeah. So I think this is it. This ticket. And the last one is configuring the requisition template for the stock-based requisitions. So so let's go to the essential maths template, and now we have this checkbox that is changing the stock on hand source to the stock cards. So input or whatever. Here this is called closed balance. So yeah, let's check that one. And as you can see, yeah, the stop card is selected for the stock on hand. Bunch of columns are disabled, and they will not be displayed on the new created requisitions. So we'll just save template and create a requisition for essential max. Yeah, and as you can see, those columns do not appear, and also the close balance, which is the stock on hand, doesn't have any value for now because it is not populated yet. It will be done in the next ticket, but it is not an input, so you cannot change it, and it will be populated from the stock cards. Yeah. So actually, this is everything for this ticket. Do you have any questions?
Sam, did all of that configuration about stock-based requisition there all, I know we went through it fast, but did that all make sense to you?
Yeah, I just want to go back to the requisition template. And can you go back and try and click the displays, the ones that are hidden? For the ones that are disabled now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Nick, when we get rid of the zebra stripes, do you think this will look better and more apparent that the administrator can't edit these?
The locked ones?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can actually make those gray or a different color if we want them to really be locked. Right now, if you click on one of the locked fields, are they actually disabled?
Yeah, they're disabled. So the admin wouldn't be able to make any edits on this or choose to hide or display these.
It might not make it super, super more apparent, but, you know, ideally how we should be dealing with, we should try to spend some time focusing on how disabled inputs look, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think in general, we're not doing enough to make it look editable. So that might be a different style we want to work on somewhere else. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Probably, as I can see on the WUKA screen, you cannot see that, you know, my cursor is, you know, changed from the arrow to this kind of, how's it called, the circle with the line, you know, something like that, which maybe, you know, indicates better that it is disabled, but.
I think we can solve this, but let's solve them in separate things and not look at the removing zebra stripes or how they look, how an input looks disabled in a table versus just how an input looks disabled, period.
And I just wanted to go back to the actual ticket. Could we pull that back up? So I know we made changes to this last minute, and I just wanted to call out that, beginning balance is not supposed to be available, or the received quantity. And so I'm just curious if we got all of those to be disabled, because I saw closing balance. And is closing balance actually stock on hand? Is that why that one's still visible?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the for the essential method, the stock on hand is called close bounds.
Okay. I think we actually just missed losses and adjustments. So the sort of, you know, and this was, we did a last minute switch. I think Sebastian, you're pretty familiar with this as well. We made this change to only show a few. And it was really only supposed to show stock on hand, and everything else is supposed to be either in the acceptance criteria, we said show the rows disabled or just completely hide it. You know, they can't do anything. And we just missed the losses and adjustments. So that shouldn't, I believe, should not be there. I might be mistaken, but my understanding is essentially everything's supposed to be gone except for the stock on hand. And
Sam, does that also sound right to you that, yeah, that losses and adjustments should have been on that list?
Yeah, somehow it got removed from the acceptance criteria and we missed it.
Okay.
And no, it was just a miss because I changed this last minute. Remember, we had a different version where we had all the stock-based things, right? So,
so Mateusz, is that a quick fix to put one more missing, or should we just file another ticket, you know, for the coming sprint to make that losses and adjustments field also lock?
I mean, I can fix it rather quick. I have a separate list and both, you know, UI and backend to for the validation, so it should be right now putting the name in the pre-populated array, so rather quickly should be
okay. Fixed. If that one's a quick fix, maybe that's the easiest way to handle it here is after the showcase. And when you do that, if you could also add that to the acceptance criteria, just so, you know, the final description of what the feature is matches what we've implemented. Sorry, that was our oversight, I think. But if it's a quick fix, you can easily add that losses and adjustments field. That would be great.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So this will be everything from me. I don't know who wants to continue. Probably
maybe. Yeah, okay. Okay.
As you're switching over, could I have to do one more set, you know, so that I make sure that I didn't do something wrong? I wrote a ticket last night. You haven't done your sprint planning yet, have you?
No.
Okay. And so we do intend to not have beginning balance on the stock-based requisition, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just take a ticket off. Grooming, I'll put it in Slack so people can see what it is, but cool, thanks.
Wait, did we miss another one? Is that what, no, it does say beginning balance is not.
Yeah, okay. I wrote a ticket, an implementation ticket to do beginning balance.
Okay. But was it still available on the showcase? I guess, I'm sorry, I'm a little confused now.
No, it's not. It was okay. Correctly not available on showcase.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, yep. Cool.
Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yep.
Okay, so today I have four tickets to show you. First one is about adding ideal stock amount column to the requisition template for Epic program. And for Epic position template, here it is. And we can move it if we want, we can disable this. It's a reference data source. And we can save it. And it's no error. So it's not required to display this column. And I think that's it. Do you have any questions? Let's take it. Okay. So next one is about renaming statuses in order. I renamed picking status to fulfilling and removed picked and in transit statuses. And as you can see, we don't have any occurrences of this in our code. It just change lock or something, some old stuff. And here is the same, just old stuff. Okay, so do you have any questions? Next one is about changing status to fulfilling after clicking a fulfill button. Mateusz already show you. Okay. So we have an order with ordered status with click fulfill button. Oh, okay. So maybe I will show you this. Okay. And I will show you that status will change to fulfill when we remove to order and have order and I click fulfill. And we have fulfilling again.
Okay, so when you're working on a draft shipment, the status is fulfilling, and if you deleted it, it went back to status ordered.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay. I think that's it. And the last one is about changing approval process. The requisition approval process stops at an intermediate supervisory node that has a supply line for the requisitions program. And this also was shown by Łukasz because he showed you final approval on requisition, which has supply line on the intermediate supervisor node. Can I show you that supply line? This is it. This is intermediate supervisor node. And it has a supply line. So let me go to proof. No. Should be the low one. And can we pick approve? Yeah, it's released and I check status changes and approved was now. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, so it immediately went to released when the requisition was approved.
But in the previous version we had a in the approval, and that's it. And now we have approval and then approved and then released automatically.
Okay. Any questions? And was it Chung Sun who had kind of written that ticket up? Does that all make sense, or are there any questions?
There's like this other part to make sure that there's only one supply line, but it's a little bit hard to showcase that, so it's fine.
Okay, so, great.
If you don't have any question, I can pass the ball to someone else.
Great, thanks.
Pavel, Sebastian, can you continue, maybe?
Yeah, we can. I can share my screen now. So I will start with we modified an endpoint for getting an ideal stack amount, and I added a few new params that we can query by using conjunction. So we can search by facility ID, commodity type ID, and processing period ID. And if we search by this field, we have only one value. And we can search by only some of these fields, like facility ID. And then we will have much more ISAs. And we can search for all ISAs regarding for all params without any params given. And also for this endpoint with search params, and the performance test was added. And yeah, and this is the these are the numbers for line 19. We have 241 milliseconds. So I think it's a pretty good number for 7,000 ISAs that are in our demo data. And I think that's it. Do you have any questions?
Love that we're adding performance stuff. That's great.
Okay, so I move to next one. Next one is about returning facility as location. Lukasz already was talking about the location endpoint as both geographic zones and facilities use the same endpoint. And if we search for all locations, we can find that, for example, Comfort and Heart Clinic. And we have in identifiers, we have supported programs and facility types and facility operators. And code, facility code we have in alias. And the part of is to be changed as it was already told. And the physical type is site for facility. So any questions for this one?
No, that's great.
Okay, and the next tickets are some quick wins that were added in the middle of the sprint. So I will start with facility search endpoint returned and deprecated values. The root cause of this was that the developer, when adding named SQL query, forgot about adding a distinct to SQL because it was needed because of joins with supported programs, and when some facility have had support more than one supported program. So on the screen, when we search it, it searched it and showed us more than one the same facility. And also the test was added to cover this change, to cover that bug. So I think this is all for this. Do you have any questions? Now I move to next one. This was about enhancing supported program. The supported program had used that UID column as primary key, and this was redundant to have that primary key as ID, because we can have facility and program combo as composite primary key. And maybe I will show you. How it looks at schema spy. So now the primary key is facility ID plus program ID. And this also fixes a bug that was about we could add multiple supported programs for one facility, and the endpoint wouldn't react to an error. And right now it would, it will react to an error because a primary query is automatically an unique key. So yeah, and this is all. We have also one follow-up ticket to make a message key more clean to a user if someone will try to add to the same programs to facility. Do we have any question for this?
Okay, no questions, thanks.
And the next tickets are the UI queries. And the first one was about reducing vertical space in page header. So before my changes, it looked like this. We had that with that space that was not necessary here. And we had also that not necessary redundant line. And now it looks like this. So we have more place for showing, for example, product grid. So there is not necessary so much scrolling. Any question for this or comments?
That looks great. I love the fact that we could like pull in some quick wins and get these little things done.
Yeah, there is also the next quick win about adding the min width to select dropdown. If we log in as Devo, we have had before my change a very weird bug that this dropdown width was it was not too large, so it should look like this. And I log in as Devo. The min width is now a larger. So yeah, this I think looks better. Any comments for this?
Picking up quick wins.
Yeah, that's great. It's really great at the end of the sprint to do little quick wins rather than like starting on a big new feature. Little things we can get done are great. Thanks.
Yeah, so it's all from me. Are we still sharing? Who wants to now showcase?
Well, I think that's everyone on our side. Is there anyone in Gdańsk that still needs to showcase?
No.
Okay, great. So that's it for everybody at the Team Parrot side.
Yep.
Okay, excellent. So that was a lot of stuff done, even on a sprint where Sebastian and Nicodem were both traveling. We had a bunch of really good conversations while they were in Seattle at the Village Reach office, and hopefully all those conversations will also, you know, help with the next few sprints of work. We have 4 sprints left now until the release, which is scheduled for the end of March. So if every sprint goes as well as this past sprint and we keep getting a lot done like this, I think we'll be in really good shape. So I appreciate everybody's hard work. Next, is there anybody who wants to showcase things from Team Ill?
I'd be happy to showcase ticket writing, but that's all I've got.
Okay, there were a few things in the done column for Team Ill. Of course, I can't click on them because of the... There we go. Josh, I can stop sharing and let you share, and anybody else who worked on any of these things, the documentation or the karma tests or the schema spy, any of those things that are worth showing, can get ready. But Josh, feel free to jump in first.
All right. Every time I click on this, I have to find Firefox. There you go. Okay. Is that coming through?
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to start with the graph that we looked at here. So the two things that I wanted to get done for ticket writing were around API design for stock on hand aggregate, and the same thing, that aggregate with a as of date. So these are the two tickets that are done, or I think they're done. And then the tickets that came out of that is OLMS 4052. You see it both here and here. And also writing 4055, 4053, and 4054. So to show those really quick, 4052 is kind of the linchpin ticket here, as you can see. Let me see if I can find that one. Let's just do this. So 4052, and Sebastian just commented on that, and Sebastian, I just responded to you. We're getting this done over the different time zones here. But essentially what we're looking for is an API that is a version 2 of the stock card summaries API of stock management. It's right here. And so this API will be able to leverage our product model a little bit better. And if we look at it here, this is an example of what it would look like. You know, we use references heavily, and it also aggregates the stock on hand. So here we might have an orderable, a commodity type orderable, such as BCG 20, and our stock on hand is 10. And then for every orderable that we actually have in stock, such as Intervax, BCG 20, et cetera, we would have in this can fulfill for me the stock card summary, meaning the stock on hand aggregate for that stock card. So we have a reference to the stock card. We also have a reference to the orderable and the lot if it exists. Lot if it exists, orderable always exists. These are from the stock card, but this makes it easier to actually get to. And we do include the last update column. So this is also leveraging, This is also leveraging the what came out of a previous ticket that was in that graph that, let's see, it's this one, 3947, that created this API. And this is why we have this field called can fulfill for me, is that in reference data, we have an API, let's look at it, called orderable fulfills, and in that response there is a can fulfill for me. So essentially this helps match up when you ask reference data what other orderables can fulfill for me. You know, you're asking about a commodity type orderable such as BCG20, and now you can actually ask stock management, once this is implemented, I should say, for the stock on hand of all the stock cards that can fulfill for you. So it unlocks a number of things if we look back at this diagram. So that was 4052, this one and this one, which we should pick up in this next sprint. And then those unlock, I should say that one unlocks 4055, 4053, and 4054. So if we look at those real quick, where did I go? Sorry, I got way too many open here. Okay, let's just do this. 4052, and we'll follow that to 4050. Actually, 4053 we'll talk about in a sec. 4054, stock on hand. So this is for stock-based requisition. And it is the stock on hand column from stock management, and you can read over this. The other one here is 4055. This is stock management, and this is grouping the stock on hand that's displayed in this screen by the commodity type orderable. So this is a screenshot of what it looks like today, and we would be saying that we need some sort of hierarchy grouping for BCG 20, which is the approved orderable, would group IVX, Intervax, and any other stock cards that fall in the BCG 20 scan fulfill for me. All right, the last one that's in there, this Zoom bar really gets in the way. Ah. Okay, there we go. The last one that's in here is 4053. This is the one I was asking a question about earlier. I wrote the ticket. We're not going to do this one in the next sprint, so I'll take it off that graph. But this is for the beginning balance. This would actually be for stock-based requisitions and not just vaccine-based requisitions. But we have the API at least to unlock it. Any questions?
Maybe a quick point, if you jump back to that JSON editor where the can fulfill for me is. I mean, so normally can fulfill for me is an array. And normally this whole point of the aggregates is that you would come to this API and can fulfill for me might show multiple things and we'd be totaling up the stock on hand for those multiple different perhaps, you know, trade items or lots that each had different stock cards, but that totaled up to this aggregate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So these in this array here are stock cards, and it'll be the stock on hand for that stock card. Should also say that this API has a parameter for an as-of date, so you can go back in time. But essentially, it would be the stock on hand of whatever date you asked for that stock card in this array. What's up here is the stock on hand, the aggregate, right, for all of those stock cards. So here we only have one example stock card that's in here. It's 10, and so you get the aggregate at the top. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. One other detail that is in the ticket is if you do happen to have, this is an edge case, you do happen to have stock on hand for the actual commodity type orderable, you just happen to be counting that way for a while. You know, of course, there is the aggregate up here, but what you would see is this orderable also being in its can fulfill for me. And that doesn't perfectly match with the reference data API, but it matches in the product model.
Yeah, cool. Any questions? Okay, Josh, was that all you had?
That was it.
Great. Did anybody else on TMIL see some of those done tickets that you wanted to take a moment to point out? Okay, last chance. I know there was some stuff about Schema Spy and Karma. And
I think I already showed Schema Spy stuff last sprint.
Okay, that's right.
And talking through the changes to Karma isn't really interesting.
Okay, cool. Well, then I think we're done a few minutes early. Are there any other announcements or things people want to share before we go?
I just wanted to share that maybe tomorrow or something, Sebastian, it'd be great if the team could review or get an update about the vaccine stock-based requisition versus the stock-based requisition. I know that that was a last-minute switch at the beginning of the sprint, so just calling out that if there are any questions with that or our sort of too iterative approach, to let us know if we can support in clarifying that a bit more. So everyone understands the decision, why we did that, and kind of our approach with the dependencies and design that we are undertaking. So just kind of flagging that discussion.
Yeah, thanks. And we already had a meeting with where we highlighted like what's the high level overview for the vaccines. But yeah, I can make sure that that everyone in the team understands, and if they have any questions, I can answer or follow them to you.
Okay.
Sounds great. Since we'll be kind of in the next swim lane of that dependency list. So we'll have more of that in the next sprint as well. So sounds like a good plan. Thanks.
Any other announcements?
And also to say that, you know, this coming sprint, Sebastian and Lukasz took Nikodem, my apologies, took lead on writing tickets for the receiving and proof of delivery. So I'm excited to see how that works and hear feedback from the team about that process during this next sprint. So just looking forward to the next sprint, and thank you all very much for getting so much done while your leads were here in Seattle.
Yeah, I second that. This was a really good sprint, and that was even with Sebastian and Nikodem traveling. So thanks everybody for all the hard work. And I think we'll say adios for the evening. I hope you have a good evening there, and folks have a good rest of their day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.